You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Colin Livingston joins us. Yeah, Colin, maybe the owner's got to just watch some the final laps of NASCAR if they want to get more physical.
Yeah, well, trying to get away from the dirty physical, and I mean, it's been obviously it's been a lot of contact lately over there.
Yeah, it's been it's kind of been crazy to be honest. Let's look at a few things. IndyCar, man, open wheel racing is as hard as it is, but when the track is damp, you know, there's dry patches, it's kind of a mix of wet and dry. That can't be ideal because you can't really have a tire that works on both, correct?
No, for sure not. I mean, we learned that last night, and we'll probably talk about a bit of karting here by the end of the day. But yeah, last weekend at Indy, just like the absolute most difficult thing is changing conditions. Like if it's wet, okay, you can throw on wet tires and you hang on and you run your setup accordingly. If it's dry, same thing. But when you get this transition from dry to wet, wet to dry, the main issue is that wet tires are so soft, and there's not a lot of tread. You know, people think that a wet tire would have more grip in the dry, but you know, grip comes from surface, and because the tires cut away to allow water to be dispelled, like our road tires, they really, really overheat quickly when it's dry, and they fall apart. Like you know, you can destroy a set of rain tires on the dry in a matter of, you know, one or two laps even. At the same time, a slick tire has nowhere for the water to go. When it gets hot, it can actually turn some of the water to steam, which will get, you know, will give you a bit more traction. But when you get that film and you can't move the water away, you're hanging on. And you know, last weekend it was just a mix of everything. These guys, they did a crazy good job. You know, there was a bit of carnage, but you know, and you know, definitely one of the craziest saves I've ever seen from Colton Herta. We talk about opposite lock a lot when we race, which basically means you have to make a big counter steer when your back end starts coming around. Colton actually got to opposite lock, where he had to take his hands off the wheel, made like a turn and a half, kept his car going, didn't really lose any ground on the guy he was chasing, and you know, went on to win the race. It was really awesome.
You know, now that everyone's gearing up for the May 29th running of the Indy 500, what does that look like between now and then as far as preparation for these teams?
It's, you know, as simple as it sounds, it's really quite complicated. I mean, the teams will have their Indy 500 cars, started for the most part. They'll have their team, their cars started and, you know, close to configured, you know, weeks in advance. They're not the same cars that they would run, unless they're absolutely forced to, you know, with the exception of, you know, teams like Stefan Wilson. He put a ride together last second where, the car was actually in pieces. They actually had to, you know, get parts and pieces from multiple teams. They had just got the thing together the night before practice started and rookie orientation. I mean, as we're talking, I'm watching the Indy 500 practice, which is streaming on Sportsnet right now. There's 7 minutes left, and they're mostly in race trim. You know, to go from the road course to the oval mentally is not a real big deal. I mean, these guys, this is what they're built for. Getting rid of all the road course stuff, getting it back to the shop, you know, cleaning out the garage, you know, that takes a few days, getting all the barriers down, and you know, blocking off a lot of the road course, so that, you know, fans can't go there or fans can't get to where they're not supposed to. That takes a bit of time. But, I mean, it used to be crazy. They used to transition from the Grand Prix on a Saturday and the first practice was on Sunday a couple of years ago. And they had to do that all overnight, which was insane. Now they've got, I think they put 2 or 3 days in between, makes it a little bit easier.
Colin, looking ahead to F1 this weekend, a track, the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya, that's a track that everybody knows very well. Mercedes is going to introduce another round of upgrades to try to close the gap between them and Red Bull and Ferrari. What do you expect? What kind of upgrades can they make? How much of a difference is this going to make for Mercedes?
Mostly it looks like it's aerodynamic stuff, a lot to do with how the air's going over the front tires, from what I've seen. Never really know until it gets to the track. Obviously they've run simulation after simulation to try and prove the concepts. They did well at Miami, to at least for a moment get the car in the window that it needed to be where Russell was up at the top of the charts. Hopefully I think the series really needs Mercedes to be challenging, Ferrari and Red Bull. Don't know that it needs to go back to the domination that they had for the last 8 years, but, you've got, again, arguably the greatest driver that's ever got into a car with Lewis Hamilton that's, having a hard time getting into Q3 at times and missing out on Q3 in qualifying, and one of the better upstart drivers in George Russell that are just, using every ounce of their ability to be mediocre as far as results go. It'll be interesting. I mean, obviously Catalonia, Barcelona is a track that the teams know extremely well. They run, traditionally the last bunch of years, all the preseason testing's been done there. So they did test there again this year. So at least they have a baseline of data. And, for Mercedes, because they ran their original side pods during that test, this might be an opportunity for them to go back and see if that helps, with the porpoising.
Yeah, and you're talking about the racers, and they're having a tough time with the bodies and getting beat up. Is it just the porpoising, or is there something else that's kind of making these guys feel, more, to use your words, beat up through these races?
Yeah, I mean, the suspension, the cars are heavier, and to deal with that weight, they've really stiffened up the suspension, which means now every time they hit a bump or if they have to jump the curbs or what have you, that's really getting transferred into the driver's body. Carlos Sainz, Ferrari driver, has really, been open about the fact that he's really starting to feel it in his back, and he's really feeling it in his neck. And, just kind of thinking out loud as to how significant the damage is going to be long-term, if this continues. And he's hoping to initiate a dialogue where, that's being more considered over just the pure performance. I mean, the teams are compromising so much right now. Again, we've talked about removing paint from the car, in sections just to try and save a pound, half a pound, pound and a half. Danny Ricciardo in Miami ran half of his conventional water allotment to try and save those couple of pounds, which in the heat and the humidity was extremely challenging. So there's a lot of compromises the teams are demanding of the drivers, and hopefully they can get through this without too much long-term effect.
Colin Livingston joins us in the CanTorque Racing Report. The Pinty Series in Canada, of course, is at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park just outside of Bowmanville, Ontario. And obviously, I know locally for a lot of the racers on that circuit, this is as close as you're getting back to normal, Colin, now from a scheduling standpoint. How are you expecting this season to go? And what are some of the are there new challenges or are there new benefits coming out of COVID for the Pinty Series?
I think if anything, there's like a renewed appreciation for having fans in the stands and having this conventional schedule. We were in Sunset Speedway last weekend for our first race. Sunset is just outside of Barrie, straight north of Toronto. It was great. We've got a really good car. We had a little bit of a powertrain issue that limited power, but the car handled the best it's handled in years. Alex did a great job. The team, all the 22 racing, we had from qualifying until the race, we tried to diagnose a problem. We had people from both of our teams thrashing on the car for an hour and a half. We never really got it diagnosed, got it a bit better, but this weekend is a track that Alex knows really well. Still feel like even though we've won there, the track owes us a couple because we've had a lot of bad luck, but fields have been really strong. I mean, we had, I think, 22 cars last weekend, which is really, really strong for an opening oval. We've got a big field this weekend. So there's a lot of interest in from all kinds of drivers. Just looking forward to getting on the plane tomorrow and putting the headset back on this weekend.
Colin, you talk about Tag, you know, feeling comfortable on that track. Is it that he's had success there, or is it that like the track sets up well for his style of racing? What is it for him?
It's a bit of both. He's turned thousands of laps there, going back to his junior days in like Formula Ford, and all the racing, over the years. It requires a certain level of commitment and definitely a little bit of aggression at times, also knowing when not to be aggressive. But, if you can really flow through, places like turn two, turn four is a really significant, a really significant corner that can add or kill your lap. And then really through 5A and 5B, the hairpin at the backside of the track, that really, once you figure those out, you can do quite well there. But, there's a number of contenders. I mean, Kevin Lacroix always runs well there. Andrew Ranger's super strong there. So yeah, we'll have our hands full, but I have a lot of confidence in my driver.
And lastly, we opened up talking about racing in the rain on open wheel. Obviously, it was raining last night, and I know you guys out at the track for the Carters, 24 on the track. Learning to drive in the rain is obviously something like racing races in the rain. Like sometimes they'll stop it, but there's a lot of times it is. How much of a learning experience was that? Especially because you had qualifying that was dry, and then suddenly you guys had to race in the rain. What do you learn from that?
Well, we have so many new drivers, rookie drivers, that they're just learning their way, in a go-kart, and to throw them on a wet track was really challenging. I mean, I think we shortened the night from three heats down to two. In the final, I was just chatting with a few of my racing friends, and the whole track was pretty much yellow after about lap four, that there were people spinning off, there were people in the tires, people off all over the place. It was really challenging. I mean, it was super cold, it was super wet. Picture driving in winter as aggressively as you can with 23 other people that are trying to fight you at the same time. Like you're being as careful as you can, but at the same time you're trying to get ahead of them. And it's not like driving in the winter. It's way more difficult. I put up my video from last night. It's up on YouTube. I can throw it up, share you the link on Twitter if people want to get an idea what it's like. I mean, I lost control of my cart on the formation lap, and I honestly don't know how. Because I wasn't really on the throttle, and I tried to counter steer something, I did something wrong, but I ended up in the grass when we weren't even pushing.
Well, get the video, figure it out, and have a safe trip, and we will talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds good. Hopefully after some more Oilers wins.
They can't be worse than how they were last night, I would hope anyway. Oilers fans are at least hoping that. That's Colin Livingston.